T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Now we're going to talk a little Pelicans. Mark Menard in for Christian Garrick along with Bobby Hebert. And we welcome in the editor-in-chief of thebirdwrites.com, Ali Cosell. Welcome back to the show, Ali.
Hey, Mark. Hey, Bobby. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing well. And let me start off with the Pelicans offseason. Obviously, you know, we haven't gotten into the meat of it yet. No draft, no free agency because the playoffs are still going on. But has anything changed in terms of what you expect to see out of this Pelicans team in the offseason, particularly where it concerns one Lonzo Ball?
Not really as far as Lonzo Ball. I still think we're in the same position, Mark. It's all going to depend on what other teams will offer versus, of course, how much Lonzo is going to accept in a contract from the Pelicans. You know, if it's in a doable range, 16 to 18, maybe a little bit more million per season as an average, I think, you know, Pelicans and David Griffin wouldn't mind keeping him. But if it goes beyond that, or if another team offers him, you know, something in return, something valuable, I would think something more than Lauri Markkanen, then I think you could possibly see the Pelicans move on from him.
Now, you know, I'm looking at this, Ali. Do you think this comes into play, the NBA plans to start the 21-22 season in October, the latest possible date for the Game 7 of this season's title series could be, what, July 22nd? Training camps for the next season are set to begin September 28th, meaning it is possible that this season's finalists are back in camp as little as 68 days following the end of the 2021 finals. We all look at the Lakers, last season finalists, against the Heat, 51 days between the end of the 2020 finals and the start of the season training camp. Now, season's game schedule beginning 72 days after the Lakers won the title. We all know that at Disney World, but only two of the last season's final eight teams returned to the second round of the postseason in 2021. The reason why I bring that up, because right now, what are we talking about in the postseason? Well, who in the hell is hurt and who's playing? How do you view that as far as going forward?
Yeah, I think without a doubt, the Lakers got the short end of the stick. And we also, not only the injuries that we saw, of course, LeBron twisted an ankle in the regular season, but Anthony Davis was pretty much ineffective in the playoffs and Lakers' first-round exit. So they had a quick turnaround. Everybody knows, big story this year. It's not going to be as bad for whatever team gets in the finals this year, but again, it's probably going to affect some. Because look at Miami Heat.
Right.
A lot of people expected for them to follow up last year.
And they didn't do anything.
No. Big disappointment. I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks steamrolled them in the playoffs compared to what happened a year ago. So, yeah, I think it will affect some of the top teams undoubtedly, whether it's with injuries or just cohesiveness, right? The chemistry is just not going to be on the court the same because guys aren't just fully healthy, ready to go through a regular season and then get in the playoffs. But you know what? None of this matters, right? This doesn't hurt the Pelicans at all.
Right.
Everybody's been sitting at home for a while. They're going to be sitting at home. So I'm actually happy that they're going to go back to normal because the Pelicans, obviously, they need a full training camp. The coaching staff needs as many time or as much time as they can get with these young players. I'll be curious to see if they add any more in this upcoming draft.
Ali, I really thought this was a golden opportunity for the NBA to shift their season to when it starts and when it ends, because I think the way they did it this year was fantastic, starting in December, and then you roll like through June with your NBA playoffs, and you're not competing head-to-head for 2 months with the NFL for eyeballs. I really liked the way the season was laid out. Why do you think they didn't stick with it? Why do you think they're so antsy to get back to the way things were?
Yeah, I agree with you. I would like for them to break from tradition as well. Go to a smaller schedule, especially, just so that the players can have more rest in between games. But that's the main reason why they've gone back to the main one. One, they want to have the schedule be spread out so there's enough rest days. Number two, you don't want to cut down from an 82-game schedule. You know, unfortunately, we live in a world where the money talks and you want to fill up the seats as many times as you can in the season. So while I think it'd be great to see the season cut down to 60, maybe 72 games again like we saw this year, it's just not going to happen because the owners, they're losing out on revenue. And the third thing is it actually messes with the schedules. Like, for instance, this year, a lot of players aren't going to go to the Olympics because of how late, even though you're right, they sped it up, played a little bit quicker than what they were actually originally proposing to do. But still, they want to make sure that they get these players their off time in the summers. They've all complained about, and of course, the other things that go on, like the Olympics or U.S. basketball. There's some other things as well.
Is it really that big of a deal to have the off time, particularly in the summer, as opposed to September and October?
I've heard that players enjoy it because their kids are off of school. Their personal lives, right? They've just kind of become accustomed to it. You know, they're creatures of habit, and they want their specific rest time and then ramping up to the next season, working with the trainers, right, for a couple months and then before getting into training camp. So I think they prefer to have it spread out like that over the summer. You push it all back into the fall. I know that was a big talking point with LeBron and a few others because it cut in their family time. And we saw what happened with JJ, right? How much he wanted to get to Brooklyn. So these players really do want to spend as much time with their families as possible.
Now, you know, Ollie, when you look at the postseason, obviously we want the Pels involved. They're not involved. And I was disappointed because I said, look, the Memphis situation, you look at Moran and where they were at, I said there's no reason why the Pels shouldn't be in that scenario. But it is what it is. But if you're just a professional or a basketball fan in general, how can you not cheer for Monty Williams and Chris Paul and the Suns? I mean, if you look at everything, come on, if you're good people, how can you hate on Monty Williams or Chris Paul?
100% agree. I think it's the best story going. And if you talk to anybody, I think a lot of people, unless they have a team still in it, right, a home team still in the playoffs, they want Phoenix in there because it is such a good story, right? Everybody knows the tragedy that befalled Monty's family, right? He lost his wife. The kids all lost their mom. And, you know, coming from New Orleans, he was with Chris Paul here. And so they already built up a relationship. And now that they've reconnected in Phoenix, both mature, I think both much improved, actually, that now we're seeing, you know, something that we wish we were seeing in New Orleans, but it's a winning formula. And so, yeah, it's just a great story. Chris Paul, 36 years old, still playing like one of the best point guards. I mean, what he did in the last series against Denver, what was it, like 41 assists, 5 turnovers, 37 points in the game 4 to clinch it for them to advance. He's playing at the top of the world, and it's great to see he's not injured. And it's for Monty, like I said, to get back into coaching and to experience this winning. You couldn't be happier for those two.
Well, you know, along those lines, Ollie, when I look at like well, when Chris Paul played for the Oklahoma City Thunder, a playoff team, when he leaves, they're not. I look where the Suns were at without Chris Paul. To me, Chris Paul makes that much of a difference, and he makes even Booker better.
There's no doubt. I think it's undersold, but it kind of got brought back to reality that you still need grizzled veterans, especially ones that have the ball in their hands, to lead teams in important games and important minutes. And you can contrast it easily with a young team like the Pelicans, who, you know, there's no team that lost more double-digit leads heading into the fourth quarter than the Pelicans, right? And we saw some of those painful losses. We all remember the one at the Knicks, you name it, in Indiana earlier in the season. There was that drop game of the Washington Wizards. So a host of them. But that's what Chris Paul gives you. That's what these veterans give you. And I feel like that's the ticket. So, yeah, I got to mention this real quick because I'm not sure it'll get to my question, but I want the Pelicans to kind of mimic that formula. I really do. They've got the young talent. And we saw what Chris Paul did for Phoenix. I think if you brought in and sought out maybe a Kyle Lowry, that's the one I've got circled. Mike Conley is also going to be available.
Whoa.
So I think Kyle Lowry might be easier to get because Toronto, I think Masai will probably be willing to move on in exchange for young talent. Either way, Pelicans have to get somebody that can steer a ship, just like Chris Paul did for the Phoenix Suns.
How pie in the sky would it be to suggest a trade for Damian Lillard?
Right now, it sounds impossible. Mark, you know it's a players' league, and it sounds like he's still really happy in Portland. He just wants, of course, to see a better-built roster team around him. So let's face it, they lost to a Denver Nuggets team that was woefully, you know, kind of underperforming in the playoffs when you saw how easily Phoenix dismantled them, and Portland dropped to them, you know, fairly easily. So they need a lot of help improving on that roster, especially defensively. So even though we saw that, Dame made some comments, I still think he's all in. That's what everybody seems to be saying behind the scenes. So well, I think he's going to give that experiment a few more years.
Yeah, but Ollie, with that being said, does it matter who the coach is or not?
Well, absolutely it does. We saw Damian Lillard speak on behalf of Jason Kidd right off the bat, so it's obvious. I don't think he and Stotts were ever completely 100% eye-to-eye. So, yeah, you're going to have to make Damian Lillard happy. So if it's not Kidd, I can see Chauncey Billups. He is so revered in this league in the coaching ranks. Or maybe, say, Vanterpool, they bring him back. He was a longtime assistant in Phoenix. And then C.J. McCollum, Dame always talked highly of him. But either way, they're going to bring somebody that's going to make Dame happy where he's going to sign off on it.
Now, you know, Ollie, have you ever, I'm looking at it day in and day out, and you look at the next game coming up, and it's like, who's hurt and who's playing?
Yeah.
I mean, is this an unusual year? Because, I look at Brooklyn where they're at. I mean, you can look at a number of teams. It's like, who's available? I mean, it's amazing to me. Okay, if they have all hands on deck, then they're the favorite. If they don't, then they're not. We all know the Nuggets got swept. Murray wasn't available. So then you look at the Nets. I mean, Kyrie gets hurt. Harden's hurt. Who's playing? It just seems like, well, if they had all their players, they would win. But I don't know if they don't have all their players. I mean, this seems like this season has been unusual in that perspective.
Yeah, it feels like injuries are a bigger issue this season for sure, and I think that's going to probably decide who we see in the finals. Right? If you had to pick today, it's not a clear-cut choice which two teams are the heavy favorites. As you mentioned, Kyrie Irving just twisted an ankle.
Right.
James Harden's going to try and give it a go tonight, but we'll see how far that goes. I mean, he lasted all of, a minute or two in the Bucks. The opening game.
Right.
So I don't think he's exactly ready. I heard that Mike Conley is going to be maybe back for the next Utah Jazz game. So, yeah, these players, even though they're hurting, they have to play because they know how important it is for their teams to win because, you know, three of these series are tied 2-2. So you can't really afford any more losses. But, yeah, almost every single one of these teams has undergone some kind of major injury for the most part. Every year playoffs, there are some teams that get hurt, right? It's a war of attrition.
Yep.
But this year, it seems like it's been more so than usual because of the condensed schedule. I've really got to believe that's it.
Ollie, by the way, we're talking with Ollie Cosell of thebirdrights.com. And Ollie, a little bit of Twitter scuttlebutt this week around Josh Hart. What do you make of Josh Hart and whether or not he'll be back with the Pelicans?
Yeah, I had heard that. That wasn't an officially good rumor in my book, somebody that's a trusted source for me. And I haven't really heard anything, you know, to the contrary, to where we should maybe consider that, hey, you know, let's flash all the red lights here. No, I just think that Josh Hart, he just finished a contract year, right? So he's going to be signing a new deal. So he's obviously, and especially his agent, is going to want to seek out the best deal. So you don't want to give any kind of like, yeah, we definitely want to go back to New Orleans Pelicans. And maybe then they'll try and, you know, try and undersell a little bit, try and shortchange his client, Josh Hart. So I just think it's just a Twitter speak. I think it's just stuff that usually happens, especially in contracts, seasons and such. So I think Josh Hart, he's going to go probably the highest bidder. It'd be interesting to me, though, if somebody offers him more than the mid-level, because I honestly don't think he's worth more than that. So that's about $10 million on average per year. I'm not even sure if the Pelicans will want to pay the full one because, you know, they got Najee Marshall that just came out. They might want to go in a different direction, especially if they got to keep Lonzo and can't trade Eric, right? Because then the books get tight. So it's funny how it's going to be a big case of, you know, a game of dominoes this season, starting with Lonzo. If Lonzo goes, I think the odds improve that Josh Hart comes back. But if he doesn't, better chances that he probably leaves. So, yeah, it's hard to say for sure one way or the other on really anything.
Now, you know, Al, you got to educate me because I am a basketball fan. I mean, I love basketball. I played at the high school level. Listen, if I could have been an NBA player, I would have gave up the NFL to be an NBA player. That's how much I like basketball. So my viewpoint, but when I look at where the Pels are at, and explain to me that you look from a defensive perspective, because you look offense, defense, scoring, defense, and all that, you know, no matter what the sport is. But how could this be a case in point if Coach Van Gundy is a defensive coach? They finished 23rd in points allowed per 100 possessions, two spots worse than they were when they wound up in the final season with Alvin Gentry at the tenure. Now, Alvin Gentry, you might say we're playing defense, but he ain't paying attention to no damn defense compared to Coach Van Gundy. So how can that be progress when you look at Coach Van Gundy compared to Alvin Gentry? Explain that to me. Now, is it all because of COVID or what? That to me, caught my attention.
Right. So, yeah, Stan Van Gundy, renowned defensive mind. Alvin, of course, was offensive. When he started this year, Stan Van Gundy literally had almost no training camp to work with. But even those couple of weeks that he had before the regular season start, you kind of saw the team actually play better defensively than they did for probably the next 3 months, right? And so the lack of practices,
right,
all this contributed to the fact that the Pelicans' defense was stuck in the mud. You know, I want to say up till about the All-Star break, they were one of the worst teams hands down, giving up, you know, record amounts of threes, especially made threes on certain nights.
Yep.
But you know what? That number, everything started to improve, Bobby. And so I feel like that's, yep, where it gives me hope that Stan Van Gundy made his mark. The team eventually got better to where after the All-Star break, if I'm not mistaken, I remember looking at it a couple weeks ago. But I want to say after the All-Star break, the Pelicans had the seventh best defense. Conversely, the offense was something in the 20s, right? 20th, 21st. So the offense really fell off a cliff, but the defense really improved. So I feel like they got a head start, basically, on next year. So I think that we should have a lot of faith that things won't finish, you know, with a season number of 23rd, as you quoted, right? So
yeah,
the young guys improved. You saw the improvement with the individuals as well as the team. So I feel like they're heading the right direction defensively, and it was because of Stan Van Gundy. So I feel like we saw the progress, even though the final numbers don't really show that or reflect that.
Now, you know, Ollie, you look at the playing game and you're going forward and just being part of the postseason. Listen, I truly believe it in the Gulf South, the Gulf Coast, and New Orleans, that if the team wins, they'll fill up the Smoothie King Center. Fans will want to be in that number. So when you look at, like, next season coming up and Coach Van Gundy and all, and what's the expectations, we should it be – should we be at least the Memphis Grizzlies? I mean, maybe you win a playoff game or two, and maybe you extend your playoff appearances. I mean, is that unrealistic to me? I think we should hold their feet to the fire. They've had enough time. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. This year was supposed to be the year they at least made the play-in tournament because they were headed there a year ago before the pandemic shut things down, derailed their regular season, which was a cupcake schedule. Right when they were playing great ball, they were 22-14. Pandemic shut down, and of course, they fell on their faces in the bubble. This year did not go according to plan. They should have gotten in the play-in tournament because of the talent. And we saw that on a lot of nights, right? They were one of the only teams, I think, that beat maybe seven of the top eight teams, eight of the top 10, especially for a team that didn't even make the playoffs, right? A losing record team. So they showed the talent. We saw some great wins. I remember the one over the Boston Celtics,
right,
Clippers. There were others. So they showed us their ceiling. Of course, the problem was consistency and of closing out games. That's why I'm so big on getting a vet. They need to have somebody that's going to steer this rudder because for as great as Zion is, for as good really as Brandon Ingram is, for some reason – well, not for some reason. They're just too young still to direct a team to make the right plays on both sides of the ball. I mean, offensively, they may miss some, but defensively, they just didn't have it. So you need to have somebody that will bring that to steer that ship, like I said. And if they get somebody like that, then I think I'm thinking minimum playoffs. I will not just be happy with a play-in, but they got to get in the playoffs next season because the talent is there for sure.
Well, you know, Ghazali, when you watch, listen, a number of fans always say this, when you're pumping gas at the gas station, they say, oh, I want to watch the Pels. I'm interested in the Pelicans. When I think they're going to win, they don't win. I think they're not going to win, then they win. It's like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. I mean, it was unbelievable frustration because the fans want to buy in if the team wins.
Yeah, I can't blame them. I mean, this is not a big NBA market, so the only way you're going to draw them in is by winning. And we've seen it, right? When the couple of years that they've made playoffs in the last 10 years,
yep.
Fans really came out in droves. When they first landed Anthony Davis, people were excited after falling, you know, having Chris Paul. Same thing with Zion. I remember how much the city exploded when they knew they were getting the first-round pick, right? Everybody will never forget the video of the Pelicans marketing, sales and marketing team, how they exploded in joy upon seeing that news. So the excitement is there, but they still have to win, right? Because you've got to grab a lot of casual fans, and they're only going to pay attention if the team's a winner.
Ali Cosell, editor-in-chief of thebirdrights.com. Ali, we always appreciate the insight. Thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Have a good night, guys.
Thanks, Ali.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.